Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The word temenos means sacred space in Greek. It denotes a place that is more than a mere physical location, an area of interest that is special and set apart. Our Olympian temenos is dedicated to discovering and interacting with the many phenomenal manifestations of living mythology and its local parallels in our surrounding culture. Our ongoing mission is to explore, honor, and celebrate the mythical world around us with a special focus on mythic subcultures, ancient practices and beliefs, folklore entities, fabulous beasts, haunted places, celestial chariots, otherworld encounters, magical and mystical personalities, unique establishments, and even soap and butter, which we'll do today on Nick Curto Presents, Connecting the Dots with Mary Jo Fahey. Greetings and welcome, Nick and Mary Jo. How are you?
Hi.
Great, Hercules. Great to be with you. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Hercules.
I'm looking forward to the program.
Me too.
We're going to learn an awful lot about things we didn't know about ever before, for sure.
Well, okay, I'll be here if you need me. Look forward to your program.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Hercules. Again, the program is Nick Curto Presents Connecting the Dots with Mary Jo Fahey. I'm Nick Curto, your co-host,
I'm Mary Jo Fahey, your other co-host. Together, Nick and I founded Disclosure Network New York. DNNY is a grassroots organization now moving into our 20th year of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan, but today it's on Zoom due to the virus.
Right, and we focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues, paranormal phenomena, major health issues and concerns, as well as many, many related and very important subjects that are in back of the mainstream news headlines. In other words, who or what is pulling the strings in back of that curtain?
Our members do intense investigative deep research into these various topics and share that information with the group at our meetings, as well as our internet followers, on our website at www.dnny.info, as well as on YouTube. Both carry our recorded DNNY programs. It's a great way to catch up if you've missed a meeting.
Our motto right from day one is, quote, connecting the dots to see truth, unquote. We have available to everyone worldwide the DNNY News Blast email service focusing on the cutting-edge topics of special interest. And, yes, it's totally free with a membership to DNNY. If you'd like to find out more about that, please go to our website and just tell us you want more information about the membership, and we'll send you all of that on the email, return email. We look forward to hearing from you. Many people have had the service and get the service every single day. There is a topic and some very interesting investigative reporting. So it is well worth it. I've had people say that it's one of the major news sources that they enjoy. So we certainly recommend it, and we'd love you to join us. Okay, now let's get right to it. Mary Jo, please tell the listeners of what tonight's program is all about.
Nick, tonight's topic is misleading information about soap and food. Listeners need to know that there is some chemistry in this presentation. Stay with me because the concepts are very important. Let's start with soap. For more than 2,000 years, humans have been using soap that is mostly made with lye, which is one of the most alkaline substances on the planet and chemically incorrect for skin. I've added an image of the pH scale to the show notes, and you can see that lye has a pH of slightly more than 13. The pH scale ranges from 0 to 14. The lower numbers, or 0 to 6, are acidic, and the higher numbers, or 8 to 14, are alkaline. The number 7, which is in the middle, is considered neutral. The outermost layer of skin is called the mantle, that is supposed to be, or supposed to have, a pH of 5, which is in the acid range and not alkaline. The skin's acid mantle is a barrier against harmful microorganisms, and it also serves to activate enzymes responsible for creating fat or lipid molecules in the skin's outermost layer, create a critical bilipid membrane that forms around skin cells, and restore skin following damage. Alkaline is also called a base. In chemistry, when you combine an acid and a base, they cancel each other out to form salt and water. If you've ever tasted the surface of your skin, it may taste salty. This is most likely due to the chemical reaction that occurs when alkaline soap is used on the body's acid mantle. The soaps that are beneficial for the body are either pH neutral or slightly acidic. We want to maintain our acid mantle and maintain an outer acid layer as a protective barrier and to facilitate skin restoration. It's a little overwhelming to learn about the chemistry of soap. Finding soap that has the correct pH in stores is also very frustrating. I'd like to give our listeners a list of soaps that are pH neutral or slightly acidic. Glycerin soap, or the transparent bars, are pH neutral. Brands include Neutrogena and Pears. Seventh generation dish soap is pH neutral. Nature's Plus Dream Quest soap is slightly acidic. Nature's Plus is a vitamin supplement manufacturer that has been in business for more than 40 years. Goat milk soap is slightly acidic due to caprylic acid that's naturally found in goat milk. Indigo Wild is a company that makes a brand of goat milk products called Zum that are sold at Whole Foods. By the way, glycerin bars get very gooey if the bar does not dry out, and you'll need a soap saver. I use glass marbles in a small dish. Surprisingly, Dr. Bronner soap, that has been around since 1948, has a pH of 9, which puts it in the alkaline range. The product has been sold in health food stores for decades, as well as Whole Foods. This information is so startling that listeners may want to read scientific studies. A search for scientific studies about the skin's acid mantle and pH turned up a 2014 paper published in the Indian Journal of Dermatology titled "Evaluation of pH of Bathing Soaps and Shampoos for Skin and Hair Care." To find this study, Google "Evaluation of pH of Bathing Soaps, NIH." Nanoparticles are being added to soap, face creams, and toothpaste. A search for scientific studies about nanoparticles that are used in personal care products turned up a 2018 paper published in the Journal of Pharmaceutics titled "Role of Nanotechnology in Cosmeceuticals, a Review of Recent Advances." Although the authors referred to nanotechnology as a promising new field, they emphasized the need for studies that evaluate the toxicity and safety of nanomaterials. To find this study, Google "Role of Nanotechnology in Cosmeceuticals, NIH." Let's talk about food. For this section, it's important to know that the letters pH are an abbreviation for potential hydrogen. The foods we're encouraged to eat are alkaline-forming. Fruits and vegetables are examples. For years, I wondered what alkaline forming and acid forming meant. These expressions refer to the minerals that are left behind when the food is digested. The minerals left behind can chemically form substances that are either acid or alkaline. The details about minerals left behind in metabolism and foods that are either acid-forming or alkaline-forming are in the show notes. Here is what is misleading. We are never told that we need hydrogen ions for energy. A scientist named Savant Auguste Arrhenius, who died in 1927, is considered to be one of the founders of physical chemistry. He defined an acid as a substance that increases the concentration of hydrogen ions. Acid-forming foods have more hydrogen ions than alkaline-forming foods. Most people are afraid of saturated fat, and it is the result of the decades of brainwashing. The word saturated means saturated with hydrogen. Fat provides energy. Fortunately, famous scientific journals have been publishing the truth about fat. In the February 2020 podcast about cholesterol, I mentioned a 2015 article on the Cleveland Clinic website that says we do not need to worry about cholesterol. Listeners can Google why you should no longer worry about cholesterol, and the words Cleveland Clinic, and you'll find that article. For an added illustration, I've added a two-dimensional saturated fat molecule to the show notes. You'll see a chain of carbon atoms bonded to hydrogen atoms. There are also children's slideshows on the web explaining that carbon is the most important element in living things because of its properties. I added an image of one of the slides explaining that carbohydrates, lipids, nucleic acids, and proteins all contain carbon in the molecules. Later, I will cover what I think has happened in children's education. The reason I've added information about carbon here is because later I'd like to mention that silica-based life that is not supposed to exist on Earth is starting to be inserted into scientific papers. Carbon and silica are close to each other on the periodic table, but they are different. In 2013, I found a poster at a Dollar Tree store that contained an image of the periodic table of elements, and it was labeled 4th to 6th grade. I don't think it was a mistake because the poster behind it contained a list of Latin and Greek affixes for common English words, also labeled 4th to 6th grade. When I Googled the question, what grade do students take chemistry, the answer that is returned is 10th grade. In addition, there's evidence that most high school students did not learn chemistry through most of the 20th century. An April 2005 edition of the Journal of Chemical Education contains a graph showing the percentage of high school students enrolled in chemistry from 1890 to 1982 was slightly less than 10% of the population. You can Google the history of the high school science sequence. There's more. In 2015, I was reading about a Jesuit named Brother Guy Consalmagno, who has been the director of the Vatican's observatory in Arizona for about 18 years. The observatory has a telescope called VAT, V-A-T-T, for Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. And Brother Guy wrote a book called Turn Left at Orion. I Googled what is left of Orion and links to web pages about Sirius, were returned. I also found a PDF of his book online. It's an astronomy textbook now in its fourth edition. He compares several stars to Sirius. His second book is titled, Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial? While I was searching for information about Brother Guy's book, I noticed ads for children's telescopes and science kits that were described as STEM educational. While I continued to search for information about STEM educational, I discovered that a children's science museum near where I live called Museum of Discovery and Science, or MODS, has a team of STEM educators. STEM is an acronym that refers to the academic disciplines of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The word originated after an interagency meeting on science education held at the U.S. National Science Foundation. NSF Director Rita Caldwell chaired the meeting, and she was the director from 1998 until 2004. When you Google, how old is STEM, a link to the Encyclopedia Britannica is returned that says the acronym was introduced in 2001. Just as NASA is being left behind, the Johnson Space Center in Houston is now a Smithsonian affiliate museum. American educators are being left behind. Although some STEM curriculum is classroom-based, most seems to be extracurricular on weekends and during summer breaks. Synthetic biology and nanotechnology are examples of STEM programs. I found an excellent 2012 paper titled, How to Motivate U.S. Students to Pursue STEM Careers, containing a graph showing secondary school teacher salaries around the world. U.S. teachers are paid less than half of Korean teachers and lag behind other countries, including Mexico, Japan, Czech Republic, Italy, Austria, and France. Listeners can find the paper if they Google the title. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that I wanted to cover silica-based life that is not supposed to exist on Earth. Our listeners who are familiar with chemistry know that organic chemistry is considered to be the chemistry of carbon. Apparently, as many as 20 years ago, scientists began writing papers that say silicon supports biological life. I found a scientific paper that is a 20-year-old special feature called The Universal Nature of Biochemistry, written by Norman R. Pace, that says two atoms, carbon and silicon, are known to serve as the backbones of molecules sufficiently large to carry biological information. You can Google special feature, The Universal Nature of Biochemistry, Norman R. Pace, NIH, to find that. At the end of our December 2020 show, I mentioned that the aliens in famous science fiction are silica-based life forms, including the Horta, who was in a 1967 Star Trek original series episode called The Devil in the Dark, the Space Slug, which appeared in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back in 1980, and the Xenomorph, which is an alien monster that debuted in the film Alien in 1979 and again in 86, 92, and 97. There's also a DNA helix made of silicon in the series The Big Bang Theory. Actor Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon Cooper, mentions it to his mother in an episode called The Luminous Fish Effect, which aired in 2007. In 1977, Dr. Carl Woese, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Illinois, redrew what is called the Tree of Life, adding a new group to what used to be a two phylogenetic category diagram describing the origins of plants and animals. His Wikipedia profile says Woese's work is significant in its implications for the search for life on other planets, and that the new category called archaea may have developed on other planets. You can Google archaea silica-based life NIH and find a June 2020 paper published in a publication called Life. The paper is titled On the Potential of Silicon as a Building Block for Life. Although the authors say no naturally occurring life form synthesizes bonds between silicon and any other atom, they describe reports suggesting that silicon species could be detected in interstellar medium, protostellar disks, or circumstellar shells. They refer to astrochemical observations, but do not explain how the observations are achieved. Incidentally, if any of our listeners saw the film The Martian with Matt Damon, they should consider buying the book written by Andy Weir. The level of technical detail is so advanced, it seems impossible that he could take the story from his imagination. He worked as a computer programmer at Sandia National Laboratories in Livermore, California, which is now owned by Honeywell. So, Nick, what do you think? Nick, are you there? Hercules?
Well, I'm here.
Oh,
Nick.
Hello?
Hi, okay, Nick.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
I
can you hear me?
I asked Nick what he thought, and there was like a silence, and I was a little panicked here. Are you both still there?
I'm still here. Nick, are you still here? I think Nick's going to try calling in. That was amazing.
It's got some weird stuff, right?
Oh, most certainly so. You've touched upon this topic in the past with the silicon-based life form, so it's interesting to see the continuation. Let's see if Nick is back on. Nick, are you with us again?
Yes, I am. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I was right there until Mary Jo completed her statements, and then all of a sudden it was gone. I had a recall, so sorry about that.
Okay, glad you guys are connected.
Right. Well, Mary Jo, again, I just wanted to tell you that you've opened up a lot of cans of worms here. You really have.
Yeah, there are, aren't there?
And,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And one of the first things on my mind, I just wanted to run by you, is that, you know, when I was in school, going from grade school to junior to high school and then college, we never got information many of the things that are important in our daily life were never talked about, never put down as something that we should know. I remember getting something called algebra and was told that I would be using it all my life. Have you used algebra once in your life?
Here and there, but not too much. It's not a subject.
And this,
we encounter,
it
really.
It was a painful process trying to get through my head algebra.
It's very tough, very, very tough subject,
But if we had courses in nutrition, if we had courses that were going to teach us what is in food, and what is even in our soaps that we use, that would have been much more beneficial. It's amazing that they don't touch the subjects that are so close to our own lives.
That is true.
And what
I
you're
thought
just
about
saying
that.
Just now. Go ahead.
Now, the supplement company has scientists, apparently, or science they're aware of that knows that soap should be slightly acidic. So if they know about it, other companies should also.
Well, that's their profession. Of course, they. I would think that they do know that, and for some reason are pulling back on that information. I can't imagine why they would do that. Because wouldn't you want your customers to have the finest products that you could manufacture? You know,
you
products
would
benefit them, right?
I don't really know many people around. I do have a friend in Israel, but I'm wondering if other countries of the world are given the same information that we are.
Interesting. That would be an interesting study for sure.
You know, because
I got to just make a comment about the teacher's salaries in various countries and the fact of the United States. I am totally shocked by that. My partner is a teacher, and they work so hard. They care about the kids, the students that they're in charge of. They are so caring. I've met many teachers. My own teachers when I was growing up couldn't have been better. And the fact that they need to buy their own supplies for the students that they're teaching, when I heard that, I thought that was a joke. I couldn't believe that on a teacher's salary, right? Did you know that?
No, and that's so wrong, Nick. That is so bad that they have to do that.
I was shocked. I was really shocked. I mean, I couldn't believe that a caring teacher who spends, and as you know, this doesn't go on just from when you're in school. When you're a teacher, you're a teacher a lot more time than that, for sure. It's a dedicated profession.
It is.
And the fact that they're making so much less money, which is a crime, and then they have to buy their own supplies. I just wanted to put that on the table because that just jumped right out at me.
Yeah, that was of all the information in this tonight's press, that was a big shocker for me that the teachers earn so much less than around the world. It's just amazing.
It is, and it's got to be changed because we need good teachers and good people to have the students learn what's important, and we need the very top people for that profession. And boy, you know, with the way things are going and the prices and the lack of jobs because of COVID-19, it's even pushing it further. I know that the students and the teachers have been under such huge pressure because of the COVID-19 and all the restrictions going on. And my hat's off to all of the teachers worldwide that are trying their best to do a good job considering the challenges that have been going on almost, 10 months now.
Yes. Incidentally, on the subject of fat, I put this presentation together, just a day or two ago, I found another scientific paper written by a woman at the University of Minnesota who was involved with what is called a longitudinal cohort study, which means the study lasted 20 years. And what they determined was that fat is very beneficial to the brain. It actually improves or protects a person's cognitive skills, and they were able to do that because the study lasted 20 years. But more and more studies are coming out that are saying that fat is okay. For 65 years, people have been afraid to eat fat. And now, fortunately, because fat gives you energy, this woman in her study in Minnesota found that it protects, people's, it's good for your brain and protects your cognitive skills. So it took so long, so many decades, but finally, there's now important places like the Cleveland Clinic and this university. And there's another woman researcher I found at the University of Illinois. Same thing. She said that finally there's news about the eggs are fine. It's considered to be a very beneficial food. They're packed with nutrition. People shouldn't be afraid. And, this is an important kind of new development that's only happened kind of recently.
Well, Mary Jo, it's now it's come to the point that so many things that we were told were true are coming to light that they weren't. That in fact it was just the opposite. This is another example of that. And I'm sure that there's many, many more too. And we have to educate ourselves like we're trying to do and learn what's real. And what is totally phony facts, because it's going to affect all of our, it is affecting all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And one other point
it's
I wanted to make is that, as you well know, we have been under an attack, not only from COVID-19 and what it's doing on so many levels to us, physically and mentally. And mentally, I don't want to miss that part, but also it's so many other things that we're hearing that were exactly the wrong information. And chemtrails is another one that's raining down nanoparticles. I have a list of over 30 things that they found when they examined what the chemicals are being rained on us. All the major cities, as well as other places in the world, this mm-hmm. these streaks in the sky that look white and sometimes not black, but they don't go away like vapor, water vapor would. The reason is because it's not water vapor from jets; it's a chemical that's being sprayed,
and
the
and
more
they,
we find
it
out about this, the worse it is. And I just wanted to put that in the air that. That's another reason we need to be wise about what we're eating.
I notice them in movies. Do you? You know, I'm suddenly looking at the sky in a movie, and there's a chemtrail.
Well, you know what? Not only that, Mary Jo, but I have seen commercials running on the major networks, and there's chemtrails in the sky. And I'm wondering if it's a way of getting us used to thinking that that's normal.
Maybe.
It's not normal. It is not. Once I was in a train coming from Connecticut back to Manhattan, and I looked out the train window, and I'm not making this up, I saw a grid pattern of white chemtrails going north-south and east-west, forming
wow.
a grid pattern.
Kind of like a tic-tac-toe?
I was in shock.
Wow.
Now, planes do not fly in a grid pattern form. They would crash into each other, obviously.
Yeah.
This was a way of putting a lot of chemicals in a very small area of that area from Connecticut to New York City. And
yeah, they want to put a lot of it
up. Looking
there.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
They weren't looking up. They weren't realizing. And I was thinking, oh, my God, I wish I had a camera to capture this. I was in a moving train, so it was impossible.
Wow.
But that's just another example of what's up there. And, of course, the question is, why is it up there? Why is it being allowed to take place? And it's certainly not doing us any health benefits.
No, not with that, all that toxic stuff in there. That's bad.
It's the things that you're talking about, and then couple that with what I just said, and of course those chemicals from chemtrails go into our plants, our food, and our water. It also goes into our pets, the animals in the forest, the birds, the bees, which we need. All of that is getting polluted, and things are dying because of this. And you know what? There's not enough effort being made to stop this. It's been going on for many, many years. I had to just identify that as another health problem mm-hmm. to put on the list of what you're identifying with this podcast.
Yeah,
I was also
true.
I got to say about your information about soap. That was amazing.
Yeah, this is. I have over the years. It's real tough to find. You know, the soaps that are okay to use on your skin. It's pretty hard.
Right.
You know, either neutral pH or slightly acidic.
And Mary Jo, on the label of the soaps, does it say anything about that information?
No. In fact, it's hard to find the pH. It's not easy.
Yeah, I was thinking that that's probably the answer, which is really awful that you can't look at the packaging and decide if it's good for your skin or not.
No, that's right. I stumbled over these few that I gave, you know, to our listeners over the years of the either neutral or slightly acidic, which is what you really should be doing with your soap.
Right.
Otherwise, your skin can. You're going to lose that acid mantle because it disappears because the soap is, you know, acid, just chemistry, that an acid and a base turns, you know, they cancel each other out and turns into salt and water. And you need that. You need it as a barrier against those microorganisms and to make new skin and to keep your skin, you know, making new cells. You need that. So, you know, what are they doing?
I was in a CVS pharmacy the other day to pick up a prescription, and I was noticing the huge amount of products to repair your skin. And I'm thinking, really? Why so many products to repair your skin? Well, it could be, maybe, that some of the soap that they're using is having the need to repair your skin. Right?
Yes, you just brought up a very important idea that this is all probably related.
And that's really scary to think, and I would agree with you that I think there is a link there because of something called greed and money.
Yeah. Oh.
You set up a problem. You set up a problem. You sell it as something people should use, and then when people do use it and have problems, then you sell them something to fix the problem.
And don't ever tell them the truth.
Exactly. And unfortunately, there are so many cases. We could go on all weekend with the number of cases where that scenario has been proven to be true. It's diabolical. You think that manufacturers are trying to help you and give you benefits of their product, and sometimes that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's going to save us is research and knowledge. That's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. Help just telling each other, giving each other this information.
When you said that fats were good for us, all my life that was drilled into me that's what you should avoid.
It is, and there's currently, right now, all kinds of commercials and programs and stories about how fat is bad. Here's an example of another example of why you need fat. We need it to make our hormones. Cholesterol is a building block for hormones, and it's also a building block for vitamin D. What happens with vitamin D is when the light hits your skin, it makes a pre-hormone from the cholesterol molecules in your skin, and then your liver and kidneys finish up and make the actual vitamin D. But without the cholesterol, it won't even make vitamin D, and vitamin D is an important for our bodies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I take vitamin D as one of the vitamins I take daily. I wanted to ask you something else that does relate. I don't know the technical name for them, but they're pads, square pads. They're like 3 or 4 inches rectangular. And you put them on the sole of your foot with a bandage, and you let it stay there for 6 or 8 hours. And it draws the impurities out of your body. Are you familiar with those pads?
No, I've never heard of that. I have never heard of that. Is this
something
new?
New to me, but it's probably been around a while. But I saw a couple of reports about that, and I thought, I wonder if it works. So a while back, I bought some of them, and I put them on the bottom of my foot and left them there for maybe 8 hours.
Really?
And I woke up and I peeled off, and there was a black substance that was drawn from my body into the pads.
Wow.
And it said that's what you need to get rid of in your body, because that's doing you no good. And that some people, I would say at least once or twice a week, have done that to get out impurities from your system. So anyhow, I just wanted to put that on the table as something to probably try and see. I would love you to do that and then to tell me and the listeners what you found as far as how that works and if it's really what they're claiming to be. Certainly there was a black substance that was on the pads, and it was from my skin of my foot.
I'll check it out.
Very interesting that they, and I looked at the ingredients, and some of those pads include things like ginger. Some of them have shellfish grindings in them, and other chemicals that are supposed to draw this out. And this goes way back to the Japanese and Chinese that were using this many thousands of years ago. This is a product that's been there for a long time.
There's another method that I'd like to mention since we're on this subject, and that is something called oil pulling. It's something that one of the doctors I worked for, he went to a conference and saw a Russian scientist present the information, and he's tried it with his patients, and he feels it works. You just use a vegetable oil, and you swish it around in your mouth, and supposedly it pulls so much toxic material from your system that you're not even supposed to spit it out in the sink. You're supposed to spit it out in the toilet. And it's people find that they physically they feel different. It's something that this particular doctor recommends to all his patients.
Oh, that's something I've never heard of before, but that's of interest too.
We're putting
things in our body. We don't realize what we're doing, and we need to absolutely get rid of the things that are toxic and in food, in soap, and in the air and in the water. It goes on and on. We could talk about the fluoride being put in the water.
Oh yeah.
And that when I first came across that, I couldn't believe what I was reading, that they add that. And there was a fluoride in a big barrel that fell. It opened up and fell on the cement, and it showed pictures that the cement was being eaten by the chemical.
There's a nonprofit called the Fluoride Action Network that has articles all about what it does to your body. It's pretty scary. But they're one of the biggest, they're activists that are trying to fight fluoride. And, of course, they their research and they assist in the studies and information, because some towns in the U.S. have managed to get rid of fluoride in the water. Not many, but some have.
Well, that's encouraging, because when I first saw that they were doing that, and I thought, why would they do that? If I want fresh water, I don't want a chemical in my water to cook and to drink. Right? I mean, it seemed to me as though you got to be kidding. They really do that? And the answer was yes. And
chlorine is real bad in the water also. Chlorine is quite bad. The byproducts, from chlorine are dreadful. You know that there have been Olympic
absolutely.
Swimmers that have come to the U.S. that won't get into a chlorinated Olympic-sized swimming pool, because in Europe they're so more advanced than we are that they use different methods to clean the pools naturally and with ozone and. They don't use chlorine. We use it because the United States is one of the biggest producers of chlorine in the world. And, they just don't put any effort into finding better water, sanitation, both for our drinking water and for pools.
And do you smell a rat when you're seeing that? It seems to me as though that's a deliberate thing to sell a lot of product.
I wish I was wrong, but I
would bet money that that's probably true. And why is European knowledge so far ahead of us on these subjects? What happened to us?
Well, the doctor that I mentioned who does the oil pulling, he's an alternative medical doctor. He loves to go to Baden-Baden, which is the largest alternative medicine conference in the world.
Oh.
And he said that they're 20 years ahead of the alternative doctors in the U.S. And I once asked him, because alternative doctors in the U.S. are usually harassed by the state medical societies that, you know, threaten them sometimes to pull their license. And I said to this doctor, well, are the German doctors harassed also? He said, no, Germany passed a law to protect alternative medical doctors.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, they.
And here
they,
we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Wow, wow. Again, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And, you know, the more research we do, and, you know, our group, an incredible bunch of wonderful people who are deep researchers and share that information with Disclosure Network New York at our two meetings a month. And we have amazing, amazing findings that if you look hard enough, you can find real data that supports these findings. And we share that information. It's been an amazing, as you know, it's been an amazing journey with these wonderful people who are deeply concerned about the truth and what's real. And sharing that information has been an education, absolutely. And as you know, we're in our 20th year. And I just want to salute all the members throughout the years who've been with us and who've been amazing researchers and have shown bright lights into where the truth is. And I just wanted to make a special mention of them.
You know, in there's a really, really highly prestigious architectural firm called Herzog and de Meuron, who created a naturally filtered municipal swimming pool in Basel, Switzerland, that doesn't use chlorine. It uses plants to filter
wow.
the water. And
wow.
the Germans have a database of 30 of these different types of pools because they keep close watch on, you know, the bacteria count to make sure that it's the water is sanitary and clean and equivalent, you know, to what they claim that, you know, is in a chlorinated pool. And they are
right.
These wonderful natural swimming pools that are filtered with plants are something that, you know, exist in Europe. But I did see an article in Forbes once about an attempt to get away from chlorine in swimming pools, but there's really not that much of an effort here because of the chlorine industry.
Unfortunately, I know that that is true. And sometimes when you go to those pools, you're not even close to the pool and you can smell this strong, strong odor. And I'm thinking,
yes.
I wouldn't want to get in that. And, you know, people with babies and young children are in that water. And I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense at all. And the fact that you're pointing out that Germany is so far ahead of us. And, of course, the question is, we've got to wake up. Because this is happening to our families, and our friends, and we've got to be more vigilant about what is healthy for us and what isn't. That's got to be done.
See, what happens is when chlorine blends with, like, even the sweat on your body, it forms byproducts that are extremely toxic. So a person, of course, is sweating when they're around a pool in the hot sun, and then they get in that water with the chlorine, and it blends with the chemicals interact to form these really, really dangerous byproducts. And they know,
the
chemistry industry knows this.
Well, but of course they do.
They don't do anything about it. And here Germany and Switzerland are forming these alternatives because they understand it. They understand the danger of chlorine.
So where are the health experts in all the various countries, except for a few, that aren't flagging the dangers that we're talking about tonight and making sure that the public knows about what's going on? We need this information.
I think, unfortunately, it's because we don't have a free here we are tonight, fortunately, because of Hercules. We're talking on his show, but we don't have a free freedom in the press anymore, I don't think.
That, you know, that's an understatement, unfortunately. That is truly an understatement. That's another point that we should just go through it for a moment, is that there's a lot of good people with real data that's helpful that is being silenced on the internet in various ways in various companies. And that is, that has got to be addressed and changed, because it's hurting democracy itself, and it's got to be looked at, and we really have to make some big adjustments for freedom of speech, because we can't go on with this censorship, and that includes what you're saying tonight about products, about food, soap, other major products that we use all the time, and that we need real information. We need the real facts about if it's beneficial or not.
You know, even our government, it used to be called the food pyramid, but now they don't use that graphic anymore. They call it a plate with this, you're sort of roughly in the shape of a pie, you know, to tell people what they're supposed to eat. You know, it used to be the food pyramid, and now it's a plate. But that has incorrect information. And there's a professor at NYU, her name is Marion Nestle. She wrote a book several years ago about food politics, and she explains that that food pyramid and that graphic now that they're using now is so influenced by corporate America. The government doesn't really publish the correct information about food.
That's a scandal. That really is.
Why don't I tell
the listeners that if they'd like to make a comment or a question to either Mary Jo Fahey or myself, we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to give you my email address, and if you email your questions or comments either to me or Mary Jo, we'll be happy to answer them. So if you get a piece of paper and a pen, I'm going to give it to you twice, and I'm going to give it to you slowly. To get us, it would be NICKNYNY, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, NICKNYNY, the numeral 1, at gmail.com, and you'll get to us. And also, if you want to know more about the membership to Disclosure Network New York, I guarantee you that it's an incredible organization. You'll get huge benefits from us daily because of the cutting-edge news and data that we publish. So that's another good reason to join. We'd love to have you. Also, you can then access our Zoom meetings, because we have two Zoom meetings, as we mentioned, every single month throughout the year until our venue reopens. And no matter where you live, you can join us for the Zoom meetings. And we have amazing people that do talks, and we also have Zoom meetings where we have roundtable discussions about various topics. And it's a really amazing couple of hours on a Sunday at 2 o'clock, twice a month. In fact, tomorrow we've got one, and we've got a wonderful woman from Massachusetts who has major exposure to ET contact and paranormal experiences, with a lot of data about that. She's really something, and she's very articulate, and she's going to share what has been happening to her personal life on this subject right from the time she was a child. And that's the topic we're going to have for tomorrow's Zoom meeting at 2 o'clock. Okay, Mary Jo, I just want to thank you so much again. Your information is so needed, especially now.
Thank you, Nick. That's so nice of you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Hercules.
Of course. Best producer we could possibly have.
You're very welcome. Okay, I guess close up, and then I'll close the show.
Okay. All right. Well, okay then. So this, Mary Jo, we're going to go to the close. So I'm going to say now that this is Nick Hurdle.
And Mary Jo Fahey for Connecting the Dots, wishing you all an enlightening journey.
As you connect the dots to seek the truth.
Till next time, keep informed, stay healthy, and safe.
And be very kind to one another. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Take good
for
care.
Now.
Much love
good
to
night.
All.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks to everybody
good
who's joined us from home, whether you're listening now live or whether you're going to be joining us later on demand. I have something to announce. I have reactivated the Olympian Star Seeds initiative. The Olympian Star Seeds are embodied reflections of Olympus's light that have chosen to drink the waters of forgetfulness and enter the dream of mortality to assist in the great awakening on Gaia. The Olympian Star Seeds initiative is tasked with locating and liberating incarnate Olympians ensnared by the dream of mortality and reminding them of their Olympian mission. The Olympian Star Seeds Initiative, mindful that archetypal Olympian patterns have been programmed into the human psyche, believe in assisting all people on Gaia with actualizing their maximal potential. And like our Pride of Olympus initiative, the OSI supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. Now we're going to close with Mighty Elohim by Linnell Griffin, and I look forward to having you all here again soon.